Good to see everyone here this evening. I hope that we all had a peaceful and uneventful afternoon. It reminds me of coming home from work one evening and my good wife saying to me, "What'd you do at work?" "Nothing." "What would you like for dinner?" "Nothing." "What do you want to talk about?" "Nothing. I just want to sit here and do nothing. To take my shoes off and do nothing." And Dave Dugas and I have already agreed that next Thursday, January the 7th, that's the way we're going to spend our evening, doing nothing, with the television set glaring loud on a particular football game. Sometimes we know nothing about something. But it's important that other times we know something about nothing. Sometimes we know nothing about something, but at other times it's important that we know something about nothing. And that's what we're going to study this evening. We're going to have a study about nothing. Nothing, I would suggest to you, can greatly influence our lives. God created the world from nothing. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." From nothing, God created the heavens and the earth. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, "Through Him," that is Christ, "He made the worlds, who being the brightest of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power." And in Psalms 33, verses 8 and 9, "Let all the earth fear the Lord, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him, for He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." God created the world from nothing. You see, sometimes it is important to know something about nothing. And here's a very good example of where God just spoke and created something. The world that we live in and the heavens that surround us and that universe out there that's so vast, that He created it from nothing. We can do nothing and be lost. Think about that. We can do nothing and be lost. How many times, men, have you been driving somewhere with your wife and you didn't know where you were and you wouldn't ask? Just sit there and do nothing. And what happens? We're lost. Except for now, we all have GPSs and we can make our way. But in this world, often, if we do nothing, we can be lost. But especially as God looks down upon us, if we do nothing, we can be lost. You can do nothing without Jesus Christ. John 15 and verse 5 tells us that "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Jesus tells us, "I am the vine, we're the branches. If we abide in Him and He in us, we can bear fruit. But without Him, we can do nothing. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30, He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. And in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as were baptized in Christ have put on Christ. We can do nothing without Christ. He tells us that it's only through Him can we reach the Father. It's not bad, is it, knowing something about nothing? We can do nothing without Christ. The cross brought to nothing our understanding of prudence. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 18 and reading through verse 24, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Those that are prudent in this world, God is going to set them aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of the age? Has not God made foolishness the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for a sign, and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preached Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Those that are prudent really have nothing if they don't turn to God for their wisdom and for their guidance and for the truth. And in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25 we read, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. To those that are willing to listen, nothing means something. And to those who are unwilling to listen, even something means nothing. The cross brought to nothing our understanding of prudence. Deeds without love are nothing. Have you thought about that? All of those wonderful deeds that we might do in this world, if they're not done with love as the ultimate driving force and the ultimate motive, they're nothing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 2 and 3, I think, says this so well. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, here's a situation where someone has prophecy, knowledge, and understands all mysteries, and has sufficient faith to move mountains. And yet it says, but if I don't have love, I have nothing. Doesn't that tell us about the world that we live in? If we have great riches in this world and we don't have love, then we have nothing. If we have all understanding of what the Bible says, and we do it from a rote standpoint, but not in love, we have nothing. Anything that we do, it seems to me, this passage suggests to us, that without love, it really does not please God, because it says, I am nothing. And then in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 4, I think we have the classic example of Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, one of his apostles, one of his disciples, one who stayed by his side for 3+ some odd years in that training program, in that teaching program, and yet I think it became very, very obvious that Judas did not have love. Because in the end, what did he do? He betrayed his master for 30 pieces of silver. He brought the high priest and the crowd to where Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and turned him over. To me, that does not sound like a deed that was done out of love, but a deed that was done out of selfishness and attempt to have personal gain. So deeds without love are nothing, regardless of what we have. If we do not have love, it says, I am nothing. Savorless salt is good for nothing. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 says that you, talking about those who would follow after Jesus, are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it season? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Savorless salt is good for nothing. And if we're that type of person, then we're good for nothing, only to be thrown out and to be trampled underfoot. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, we're told to let our speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought answer each time. Our speech should be seasoned with salt, not with savorless salt, but with salt that adds to the things that we say and the way that we say it and how we say it, and to be sure that it's said in love. So we need to have our speech ready so that we can answer questions. But savorless salt is good for nothing, to be thrown out and trampled. And maybe the most striking thing is that we're going to carry nothing out of this world. We came into this world with nothing, and we're going to go out of this world with nothing. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7 tells us, for we brought nothing. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And think about that for a moment. In light of Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, it tells us not to lay up our treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. We're not going to take anything with us. So we ought not then to lay up our treasures here on this earth, but to lay up our treasures in heaven, doing those things that are commanded of us, and to carry out those things that we know that we should do on his behalf, because in the end, we're going to carry nothing with us when we go to heaven. As having nothing and yet possessing all things. Have you ever thought about that? As having nothing and yet possessing all things. Paul said that when he wrote to the Corinthians in his second letter in chapter 6 and verse 10. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many riches, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Paul wasn't talking about, I don't think, necessarily worldly goods. But in this case, having nothing was very, very important, because it meant that he had poured out everything that he had to serve others, to preach the gospel, to teach others, not taking from others, and the things that he did. And Paul could get pretty harsh at times, but he did it with love. Without love, there's nothing. And so, as you think about this very simple lesson, this study about nothing, I hope you can see that nothing can indeed greatly influence our life. And probably the most significant thing that someone that's not a Christian could do now is not nothing, but to do something, to accept Christ as their Savior, and to come now as we stand the song that's been as we stand to sing the song that's been selected. Or if there's someone here who needs the prayers of the congregation, we'd also invite you to come now as we sing the song that's been selected.